You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. I'm not good at being noble, but it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world. Someday I'll understand that. Now, here's looking at you, kid. Casablanca, bogey, romantic comedies, romantic movies. Are they good for you or bad for you around this holiday season? I could watch Casablanca for like every day of my life, and it's no good for me. That's what we're going to learn this hour. Lots to accomplish here, but we want to hear your stories about romantic movies that have done well for you or badly for you at 877-8-MY-TAKE or my take at the takeaway.
So glad you explained that, because
right,
you were losing me for that first 5 seconds.
If there was a webcam on Adora's face at that moment, it would have been very, very entertaining. Joining us now, though, is Peter Morici, a professor at the University of Maryland School of Business and a former chief economist at the U.S. International Trade Commission. Peter, we wanted to have you on the program to talk about something related to the auto bailout and how it may have an impact on the new administration's relationship between the unions and workers broadly in the United States as the administration tries to formulate an economic policy. The auto bailout is certainly good for workers, but what do you think it does for the relationship between the Democratic Party and the Obama administration and union workers in this country?
Well, the agreement requires that union workers in the Detroit 3, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler, align their labor costs, that is their wages, their benefits, and the work rules with those of the transplants, and Nissan, Honda, Toyota. Each company basically has to pick a target company and align with that target. They can choose whichever one they want. Now, those are goals to be accomplished by March 31. If they don't accomplish those goals, they're supposed to give the money back, which basically means a structured Chapter 11 of some kind. However, you know, we're going to have a new president, and he can enforce those provisions as he pleases, because also the agreement says you can vary from these conditions if you can show a business plan that would make you viable, more or less, and uses technical terms for that. And so it's up to President Obama to decide what that means. And, you know, he is very beholden to organized labor, as he is the New York banks, for his victory. The Democrats are. And so there's all opportunity here for accounting mischief in terms of what the labor agreements mean for the long-term viability, because a lot depends on what you assume about future car sales, what the Japanese are going to pay here, you know, things of that nature. So you can, with a stroke of a pen, you can really change what a business plan says.
So I guess the devil is in the fine print here, and we're going to see that as we move forward. Why has compensation been such a gigantic issue on the auto bailout worth $17.4 billion and not so much of an issue on all of the various bailouts of the financial institutions?
Because it is so transparent as to what its impact is. I mean, when you're paying $20, $30 more an hour for labor to make cars, and cars in labor is such an important component, you know that you can't be competitive. Also, in the testimony that the congressman received, basically the people that were not from the industry said that this had to be fixed. I testified on March 18th alongside the three CEOs when they first came to town to ask for the money. I was the outside expert. And I basically said that unless they align their labor costs, that they have the same work rules, that they restructure their debt and get rid of their legacy costs, they can't make cars competitively, and the Republican senators embrace that position.
Huh.
Well, I mean, you can go read the congressional record.
No, I remember your testimony. Peter, do you think there's a ground zero of the recession? Is there a town that's typical of what's going on in the recession, a place that embodies everything?
There's no place that's typical. I mean, ground zero, you're probably sitting on ground zero of the recession. The recession was manufactured on Wall Street, if it was manufactured any place in the United States. The recession has made what have been bad conditions now for a while in the auto patch worse. It's important to remember that in Detroit, they were losing money before the economy turned down.
And certainly the subprime issue predated the financial meltdown. Peter Morici, thanks for joining us. We're going to see if there is a typical community on Main Street, which represents all of these financial problems. Peter Morici, of course, our friend and a professor at the University of Maryland School of Business, former chief economist at the U.S. International Trade Commission. Thank you, Peter.
Take care.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.